you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Start over, because I noticed that many of you don't know that prayer. It's 126 in the book. We are gathered for your blessing. We'll wait upon you, Lord, and we're looking for you to pour out your Spirit upon us. 126. dear Lord, have your way, oh Jesus, Jesus, we're so dependent upon you, oh Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we come to you, Lord, this night, Lord. Jesus.
Lord, we're so thankful tonight that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. And Lord, we just praise your name for what you've done. We can all attest to what you've done in the past, Lord. And we praise your name for what you've done in the past. But Lord, with excitement and with joy, we look to what you want to do now, God. And we lift ourselves and make ourselves available to you, Father. Work in our midst, oh God. Oh, Jesus. Work in each and every one here tonight. For your glory, for your purposes, and may they be fully accomplished. And we ask this in your name.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord.
Thank you.
has come to our need. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, dear Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we need you, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, the work in Pilgrim Camp that we're all here to do the next 2 weeks, and I know some of you, just a few of you, are guests and not staff, but most of you are staff. And if you're a guest here, this is, includes you too, but this meeting is primarily, well, it's all of us, yes, but it's primarily for the staff. We want to pray for them. We want to ask the Lord to bless them and to use them. And Pilgrim Camp is, first of all, a place of spiritual retreat, spiritual meeting with God. That's what these grounds are for. This is a vacation place, but it's not primarily a lakefront property so that we could enjoy the beach and swimming. And it's not primarily a place of shuffleboard or all the other amenities that we have here on grounds. This is a place where people come to meet Jesus. And that's for the, you can take a survey of the guests and the ones that will be coming. That's why they're coming to camp, because they want Jesus. They want to know him better. They want to meet with him. This is in an oasis. And I think we've all recognized that. We all recognize that camp is a precious place to us because it's a place where we've met the Lord. We sang in that first song about the old time. Pour out your spirit upon us like the olden days. You know, and I'm getting to be an olden time guy. And I can remember, and I did think of before Brother Peter started to pray. I thought, Lord, I can remember how many times here at camp. And I don't just mean here in this room at camp. I'm thinking of down there at camp. I could remember meetings around that altar. You're not strangers, those of you that are counseling this year. Perhaps it was last year. But I could think of times where God just poured out his spirit and those boys were lost in wonder, love, and praise. And they just all of a sudden began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Ghost filled their vessels to overflowing. I remember praying with one boy. He was just a camper. He was an Onanta boy, but he was playing the piano. He was really good at it. And I remember we were seeking the Lord, and he was praying there. And I remember his prayer, Lord, I can't take anymore. Lord, I can't take anymore. And he was just between English and tongues and praising the Lord, and just his heart was open, and he wasn't playing the keyboard. He was just had it, his hands were up here, the keys weren't playing anything. But he was just, and Lord, I can't take anymore. And I don't know how long it's been since we've had meetings like that where we've had boys or old people or young people cry out, Lord, I can't take anymore. Enough already. Stop. My prayer has not been that, at least not recently. It's been, Lord, I need more. I want more. I need more. And Lord, give me more. Give the boys down there. Give us more so that we maybe get to the place. Maybe you'll get to the place where you say, Lord, no more. Okay, I can't take it. I remember praying for that kid. I went over to him and I said, Lord, enlarge his capacity. If he doesn't think he could take more, spread it out a little bit and enlarge his capacity till we're filled with Christ and Christ alone. And that's what the Holy Ghost has come to do in us and in you and those of you that are working at camp. I know you probably had classes. Did anybody teach you how to put the spoon on which side of the plate and the fork over here? You had classes like that? And what you're not supposed to do and what you're supposed to do. And we're supposed to do that. And don't forget what you've learned. But more important than that, and waitresses and housekeepers and kitchen boys and groundsman, and the most important thing that you can do these 2 weeks is be in touch with Jesus and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you come to meetings, be in faith that God is going to pour out His Spirit upon you and everybody else around here. That's more important than getting the fork on the right side of the plate. I'll even take an unclean cup once in a while in exchange for... No, Paul said no. Okay, I won't take an unclean cup. It happens. I mean, it used to happen, maybe not anymore. But Lord, I pray that these staff members, we've all filled out applications, maybe you have. And you've been approved. Well, there's a verse, and I'm not here to talk much and preach, but just one verse there in Acts chapter 6, I think it is. They were looking for waiters and waitresses, or they were looking for housekeepers. They were looking for staff because they had people that needed to be served, and the director couldn't serve everybody, and so they needed people, and so they wanted on their resume some qualifications. Now, you didn't have to know where this went and that went and this and that. What you needed to, they said, you go find people. Remember what it says? I want you to find 7 men of honest report, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I wonder if that was the prerequisite to serve on staff, to serve tables at camp, to clean the accommodations, to change the sheets. If that were the requirements, I wonder if we would be qualified to be on staff. Well, this meeting tonight can qualify us. This meeting tonight can be an opportunity for you to be filled with the Spirit of God. And to then meet the requisite of Acts chapter 6. Now, there it was 7 men of honest report. Now, I know maybe you're a purist, and maybe you think the only people that really should be serving in the dining room should be men, because the Bible says men only, so women you can't serve. I'm okay with women serving as waitresses. I know what the Bible says. I know. But it's okay. Women can serve tables and can clean houses, and so can men. So if you're a male waiter, God bless you. If you're a female waitress, God bless you too. If you're a male housekeeper, I don't know if we have them or ever have. But wherever you are, whatever capacity you're filling, God fill you with the Holy Ghost and qualify you to serve in the capacity wherever it is at Pilgrim Camp that you're serving. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with my cleaning the tables or washing the dishes? Well, you might not think it has anything to do, and maybe not per se with those dishes or with the cleaning of the cabins, but it has to do with what God is able to accomplish at Pilgrim Camp. He wants to pour out His Spirit. He wants to save boys and children in the cottage, girls. He wants to fill with the Holy Spirit. You ever hear Sister Gerda Baca's testimony? Anybody know Sister Gerda Baca? If you're Asian, you can call her Sister Bay, because I think that's what she calls herself. You know where she was filled with the Holy Spirit? Not when she hit the mission field in Taiwan, but she was filled with the Holy Ghost when she was a cottager. Back down in that age group. And her mother got after her because she was 8 years old and she wasn't yet filled with the Holy Ghost. What's the matter with you? 8 years old, you're supposed to be on your knees drawing and coloring and playing tic-tac-toe. Well, she was... You're 8 years old and you're not yet filled with the Holy Ghost? Come on, what's the matter? Seek till you find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. You know, we can mosey on through our life, and I'm only 27, you know, I'm only 16, and I'm only a kid now. What do you expect? Well, I don't know. What does the Bible expect? Lord, tonight, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. And it doesn't have to be in a meeting where we're all seeking and crying out for help. God, in silence and quietness, as we're having communion, you know, it's the blood that's opened up the way so that we have access and the Holy Spirit can come to us and we can come to the presence. It's all because of the cross and because of the blood. And so I'm so thankful tonight that we can gather together and have faith. And ask the Lord to put that faith into our hearts. And ask the Lord not just for, Lord, bless us. He'll do that. Yeah, everybody will be blessed. But Lord, would you fill us in such a way that out of our innermost being, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I'd like. Acts 2:4 is wonderful and precious, but Acts 7:37 is better. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. I don't know if there are hopefuls, faithfuls, valiants, greathearts, Natick, Nonantum. I don't know, but out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Cottage, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And wherever we find ourselves, Lord, rivers of living water, but nothing in, nothing out. If there's nothing in, what can possibly flow? Peter and John said, okay, you got a need, mister? I see you got a need. Kids are going to get off the bus tomorrow. They're going to have needs, or in the van, or in cars. They're going to roll into a village and into Nonantum and Natick, and they're going to have needs. And Peter and John met those needs by, what I have, I'll give to you. What I have, I'll give to you. Well, what did they have? They didn't have a lot of money. They said they didn't. They couldn't give that. But what I have, I'll give. What did they have? They had an outflow of the Spirit of God that could minister to the needs that were manifest, that were represented in body, in soul, and in spirit. Let's not sell what God is able to do short of what he deserves. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible to him that believeth. So find people that have faith to believe and that are conduits of the blessing of God. So, Lord, you found them. They're sitting over here, and they're sitting out here, and all around they're sitting, and we're seeking, and we're waiting, and we're longing, and we're expecting. So, Lord, we would just pray at the beginning of this meeting that you would hear the cry of our hearts as we've been offering these prayers, Lord. We need help. Lord, we sang just in this song, come as a dew to my dryness. I don't know, Lord, maybe there are many here tonight of us that feel dry. I've got nothing to give. The congregation doesn't need me. The group of boys doesn't need me. I feel so dry. I'm empty. I need help. But the dew of heaven, come down, Lord, and saturate. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, in our dry condition, come and bring the dew of heaven. Fill us, Lord, every counselor, every worker, every dish boy, everyone on these grounds. Come, Lord. We're Pentecostal. Lord, we believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And we believe that without him, we can't do anything. So we invite you to come to us tonight and qualify us, myself included, Lord. I need help. I need help to handle your word. I don't know how to run a meeting. I don't know what to do. None of us do. But Lord, we're looking to you to run a meeting. We're looking for you to help us. And so we give ourselves to you, Lord, and say, just have your way with us. Channels only, blessed Master, with all your wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day, and every hour. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, every day. it, oh Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if you're a waitress these coming 2 weeks, or if you're a kitchen crew member, a cook or assistant, one of those, or if you're whatever you're serving, not a counselor, but any other staff member that might be here, would you stand so we can identify you? There you are. Well, God bless every one of you. And we want to pray for you. We want to ask God to come to you and to manifest himself to you and to give you the help that you need in every area of your ministry here at Pilgrim Camp. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know Brother Matt, he's not standing, but he's in charge of you all. I think the coordinator for the third period. And Brother Matt, would you pray for this group of fine staff members that you have?
Father God, we thank you for these channels, O Lord, that you have led right here to this meeting, O Lord. I thank you, O Lord, that it's your will to fill us with everything that you have for us perfectly, O God. We pray, O Lord, that you would purify these channels, O Lord, that they might be pure conduits of your presence, God, in the simplest act, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that you would help us all to see it as an act of worship for you, O God, for your glory, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit would give such a motivation for every staff member to serve you with joy.
Yes,
God, we thank you for this privilege that we have, God, of cleaning tables, of washing dishes, of cleaning grounds, O Lord, for your glory. God, I pray, O Lord, that you would give us a supernatural desire to love you and serve you faithfully, O Lord. Empower every single staff member here with your presence, O God, and enable us to serve you with joy, O God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes, amen. 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 God bless you. You may take your seats. I'm going to ask Sister Diane if she would come here, so we can all hear you better. And Sister Diane is the head counselor in the cottage. She's done this a couple times before, so she's used to the routine. Sister Diane, please tell us what's happening in the cottage these 2 weeks.
Sure. First of all, I'm so thankful that we're back. That the cottage is back this year. We've gone through first and second periods already. And here we are at third. The summer goes by very fast. And I've discovered that now that I'm back in the cottage, I'm a little rusty. I'm trying to think of, okay, what should I do? I'm looking at my lists, and I'm like, okay. Fortunately, I have the best group of counselors with me that can just fill in the gaps and help me out, because they're younger and they think quicker than me, probably. So I'm thankful for that. But I want to tell you that even though I do feel a little rusty, God is not rusty. And I can certainly depend on him, because he is faithful. And I love that. Now, this year, we are studying how Jesus is the rock of our salvation. In these days when truths seem to float different directions, we have a firm rock to stand on. And these 6 to 8 year olds should know that. And so we're going through the Bible, starting at the beginning, and I tried to do something a little creative. So we're doing a little geology. I've got little rocks with me, and we're looking at those. But the main thing is we're in the Bible, and we're seeing how, well, next Sunday I'll tell you more, so I don't want to give everything away. That's the problem right now. But using all stories in the Bible where a rock is used For instance, you all already think of David and Goliath, how that stone gave victory, that God was on his side and he had nothing to fear. Or maybe in a story where Jacob put on his head on a rock pillow, and then God kept his promise to him and told him that, I'm going to keep my word with you. And all these truths will be presented as we go through a Bible story having to do with rocks. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the truths that that will be brought out to these children through the Holy Spirit, and how these lives, we pray that these lives, these young lives, will be changed at this young age. It's good that these children learn these truths when they're young, because it will stick with them through their life as they mature. And so pray for us. We have a decent-sized group. We have about 17, maybe 18, with a day student here and there. It's a little lower than in years past, but that's okay, because we have the children that God wants to be here. So pray for them. Pray for us. Pray for God to work in their hearts a lasting work that will not be shaken or moved, just like the rocks that we will be studying.
Amen. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. It's been my experience, my joy for all these years. How many years has it been, Sister Diane? Do you have any?
A long time.
Brother Peter, do you remember? How many?
It's been a long time.
It's been too long, hasn't it? Oh, we'll commiserate some other time. But all these years, seriously, third period, I've wound up here. And Brother Peter has been down there in the village. And Sister Diane has been just a little ways down the road in the cottage. And it's a very long time that it's been happening this way. And it's really been a privilege and a joy. Now, they're not part of this Watch Rock end. They're part of where they are. But just to experience what you'll experience on Sunday, to see what the children are learning, and to see the vibrancy in these children, the joy that they exhibit and exude as they're walking to and from, and it all starts from Sister Diane. She wouldn't think that, but it does. The enthusiasm, the vitality that she pumps in, and it's the same with the village. Now, I know Brother Peter would quickly nudge his son next to him and say, well, it's Eric. It's Survivor Games. That's why they all come third period. They love Survivor Games. But I'm glad for Brother Peter and Sister Diane and their heart for God and desire to see boys and girls and in the village young men following Jesus Christ. It's such a joy. It's such a blessing. So every year when I get word that Brother Peter and Sister Diane are going to be here, it makes me think, I'm going to do it again too. If they're going to be here, then I'll be here. If they feel like they're going to quit, maybe don't. I'd encourage you to keep on keeping on. So Brother Peter, share with us, if you would, what the Lord has laid on your heart for the village.
As I tell you that, I'll share with you two brief little experiences I had with Brother Edwin, who many of you know, and if you're maybe under 20, you have heard, but you may not have known him. But a wonderful man of God. I remember he scared me one time. He scared me. Yeah, right. He scared me many times. But not as much as Uncle Hans, but that's a whole different story. But I do remember Brother Edwin once put his arm around me, and he asked me a question that scared me. I mean, I think the blood just drained out of me. It's not what I expected at all. And he was such a loving man. He put his arm around me in church. This was back in Ridgewood. And I remember he said to me, Peter, my boy, as he would sometimes say, he says, maybe the Lord wants you to be a missionary. I'm like, oh, what? No, not a missionary. No. Maybe a football player. That I would like. A couple other things I would like. But he did put that, and it shocked me. And I remember thinking about that for a while, and it sort of stuck with me, this idea that there's a mission, and that there's a call. And I remember there were times in my life where I would really be struck by that and think about it. I remember a time when I was starting to work in the I worked this is while I was going to college. I worked at LaGuardia Airport, and I mowed lawns. And it was in the summer. And man, this was what a job that was. I don't think I was ever as tired as I was in those days. You may not know this, but if you go to major airports, they have big lawns. And I remember so what were we, 18 years of age? I think I was 18 at the time, 19. And I remember that I'd be dropped off. I had to get there by bus. It took me about an hour and a half to get there. Work started at 7. And I thought I'd have summers off. And I remember working there. And I remember they would give me a can of gas and a lawnmower. And they said, you see this field? And it was like immense. It was immense. Yeah, we'll come by around 12 o'clock. We'll pick you up. Here's a lawnmower. Here's a tank of gas. And here is a jug of water. And we'll see you later. And do a good job. And so, you know, I go through that whole thing. But I remember even then, I remember that I would take some time. I would take time and I'd pray as I mowed the lawn and I think about things. And I remember really wanting to be a witness to the God guys that I was working with, the LaGuardia Airport or the Port Authority would hire people, kids like us, for summer work. And you'd have a full summer worth of work, and then you were done and made some money, and they'd pack you off, and then you'd come back the following year. But I wanted to be a witness, and I remember not knowing what to do or how to even do that. And I just remember sitting at the lunch table, and I had this New Testament in my back pocket, and I was trembling. I'm not kidding. I was trembling. I pulled it out, and I was trying to, like, read it during lunchtime, thinking, like, Lord, I want to read your word. I know people might see this, and if I have a chance to say something for you, I'll do that. But I think I probably shook too much. They probably stayed away from me because of that. I don't know. It wasn't a really good strategy, but it's all I could think of at the time. Anyway, so that was that. But then, you know, it's one of those lessons that you learn that, you know, you really can't do anything on your own. Brother Ernie just said that, right? I mean, you can try, and maybe you're gifted as a gifted speaker, but, you know, that's not what's going to get you. That's not going to fulfill the mission. It's not what you do at all. But it's what God does in us. So then the Lord does that. But then what's really the call? You know, is it true that only some people should be missionaries and some people shouldn't be missionaries? And yeah, well, that's probably true if you consider missionary a job. But there's a job we all have. It's going to be part of our memory work. I think you all know it. I like picking memory work that's easy because I know it. But this one, you find it towards the very end of Matthew. All authority, this is Jesus speaking, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And there are no job titles right now. It's to everyone. Go, therefore. Go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And what a glorious Lord. He doesn't leave it there, does he? You know the rest. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we have this call. So, by the way, I'm supposed to talk about what we're going to be doing down in the village. This is it. We're going to talk about how, at least in the first part, how that we can't do things on our own. we're going to look at John 15 a little bit and apply that to our lives. When it talks about we are the branches. We're not the vine. We're not the source. We're the branches. And you're not going to be a good branch if you're not connected to the vine. You kind of dry up and wither, just like we sang in the soul in that song. We sometimes feel that way. But we have to be in the vine. But it's not just for that. You know, and I remember with Brother Ernie all those wonderful times we had down in the village. There were times where God just poured himself out in such an amazing way. But there's a purpose for that. There's a purpose for you being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have to live a holy life, and we're called to that. We see that in our devotions. Those of us who are on staff, we'll see that in the staff devotions quite a bit. This focus on holiness. It's for a purpose, folks. It's for a purpose. And I can't think of a time more than ever. I think I can say this every year. If I live to be 100, I would say it in many years down the road. I would say that. Could you think of a better time where you need young men to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to go and not to be afraid to go? And so that's what we're focusing on, where I'm asking you to pray for us. We will certainly pray for you. But I believe the Lord has a village full of missionaries, full of them. It's not just for our pastors to do. It's not for the Sunday school teacher to do. You know, and just like me, I was deathly afraid of brother when Brother Edwin said that. No, Lord, please don't call me to anything like that. Call me to things that I really want. But you know what I realize is the older you get and the more that you have the Lord working in your life, you want what he wants. We talked about this last year at one point, Brother Ernie. We were talking about like, what's it like to be down in the village and to be there? There's nothing like seeing the Lord work. And I am so blessed to live long enough to see kids who many years ago were praying on the altar and are now fulfilling their calling. And it's nothing I did, I tell you that much. I tell you that much. If it's what I did, it wouldn't be for anything, but it's for what the Lord has done. And so we're looking for the Lord to work mightily. And I was just impressed earlier today, like we always think back on all the wonderful things that God has done, but God is not finished at all. If he were, we wouldn't be here. But the Lord has much more to do, and he's got much more to do in the lives of these young men. And I can't think, I'm at school, I'm a high school teacher, some of you know that. But if you're in education in particular, you see what's going on today in society and what is and how things are just shifting in ways that are just completely incomprehensible 10 years ago. And I don't think that that's going to change. I don't know where it's going, but there's a call. We need men and women who follow the Lord and who are willing to love people and get up alongside them. I was always afraid. It's only the older I get, the more comfortable I feel talking to people about the Lord. What a thing to be able to say to somebody who's struggling and they tell you, you know, I'm having a tough time in my life, or somebody I know is sick, or this is a disaster in my life, to be able to say, hey, you know, prayer is an important thing for me. Would you mind if I prayed for you? Or just something like that, just a touchstone. People are looking for that. And I want young men to be able to do that and to feel comfortable doing that. And so would you pray for us? We will pray with you, pray for you as well. The last Brother Edwin story I want to tell you, this one's not as scary. This is one of the things I'll remember forever, and I've shared it before, but I'll say it again. I was head counselor, maybe it was my second or third year, and I was talking to Brother Edwin, and he called me. He called me just before the camp really got going, before the period got going. And maybe I got here on a Saturday, and he called me Saturday night, and we weren't going to start until Monday. But we talked a little bit, talked about the theme and about things that we were doing. And I've never heard Brother Edwin say this, those of you that know him. He always had a good word. But he said, Peter, he said, God is able. And the thing is, he didn't say it once. I don't think I'm exaggerating if I tell you he said it 10 or 11 or maybe 12 times in a row. God is able, Peter. God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able. And you know what? He is able. He is more than able. And so we're looking for the Lord to do that this year. And so, again, I said it probably three times, pray for us. Of course, we will pray for you. God has a mission for you, too. It's not for the boys in the village. It's for the waitress staff. It's for the waiter staff. It's for the guests that are here. You have a call. You have a call. Go, therefore.
To do thy will, yes, that is all. To do thy will, obey thy call. To follow on where thou dost lead. To do thy will is all I need. To do thy will, yes, that is all.
Sure that we would like to pray together for all of the counselors. As Brother Peter has asked, pray for us. And the cottage also, pray for us. And so again, maybe I could just ask the counselors if they'd stand, those of you that are going to, either in the cottage or in the village, Natick, Nonantum, work with these young people that are coming to camp, boys and girls. Could we pray for them? Is this the whole group? Or are some still coming?
There's some coming at the end of next week.
Okay, good. I thought there's somebody that I'm looking for that's not here. But let's all join our faith together. Let's ask God to lay his hand upon each one of these that are standing in God's presence. Lord, you see these vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for your use. Lord, with no power but as thou givest. Lord, they're only children. What do you mean they're only children? They're precious souls for which Christ died. And Lord, we thank you that the cottages over many, many years have been a place where so many children have found you as their Savior. So many children have found the love of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that this year we pray for each cottage counselor, that through them, these boys and girls that are coming at this time that you have ordained and appointed to be here third period, that, Lord, every one of them will sense a drawing after Jesus. They may not be able to articulate it. They may not have a clue as to what it is. But Lord, may they come to understand by the end of the third period that this is Jesus, the presence of Jesus. This is what it feels like to know him and to love him. And may each one of them give their hearts to you. Lord, as they look at rocks and talk about rocks and the victories that are coming through rocks and everything with them, Lord, we pray that these truths of your word will sink right down into their hearts. Take away all the rocks that are in there, O God, and give them good, fertile soil to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save their little souls. We pray the same for the village, for Natick and Nonantum, Lord. Wherever these kids come from, we don't know. We don't know their backgrounds. Some cases, we don't know the challenges that they faced all year in their lives. But Lord, whoever they are and wherever they're from, they all need you. They all need you. And you've sent these men to go into the harvest field and to labor for you. We read the laborers are few. But Lord, you found these men that have been willing to give themselves their time, their effort to serve you, yes, as missionaries down there in the village at Pilgrim Camp. And we pray this short-term mission trip will redound to your honor and glory. Anoint them exceeding above and beyond, Lord. Come to them and fill them with your Spirit. And may there be the wherewithal to give to these children, Lord, just the right word to speak, just the tenderness or just the sternness. You know what they need. Bless Brother Peter, bless Brother Eric, and bless every one of these counselors, we pray. And we thank you for it, Jesus. In your name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll hear more from you, I think, when you have your day off. I know maybe you don't have to come to church when you have your day off because it's your day off, but maybe you want to. And if you happen to show up here on your day off, don't ever hesitate to tell us what's going on down there, because we pray for you every meeting, whether you like it or not, we're praying for you. And so it's good for us that we're praying to hear. And so I may not say, oh, you know, he's here from the village and let's, but you just take that opportunity. It's a feel free kind of a thing to share with us what God has been doing for you wherever you're from, cottage or village.